Hey, it's the Real Estate Steps Podcast. Welcome to your number one resource for real estate information. Hey, everybody. We're here once again for the Real Estate Steps Podcast, and I'm here with Nick. And Nick, where's Amir?
Amir is in Hawaii.
What?
Can you believe that? We're freezing our butts off here, and this guy's in Hawaii.
Unbelievable. I guess that's what it is to be the top broker in the office, huh?
A couple of weeks ago, it was Dubai, of all places, and now he's in Hawaii.
So do you think we're going to get a t-shirt from Hawaii?
I don't know. We got nice t-shirts from Dubai.
I know. Have you worn yours yet?
I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did anybody say anything?
My wife said, it looks nice.
Yeah, why did Amir get me red? Is he trying to reflect something in my personality in that?
I don't know.
Anyway. Hey, we have a guest with us today, and his name is David Kinward. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for a number of years. Gosh, I think it's almost on a decade.
Almost, yes.
Or longer, yeah. There's a lot of things in business that we deal with and fear,
yep.
And you're about ready to take action, all of a sudden, you get on your phone and check Facebook or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he has these methods. He's called The Mental Coach, and his website's called thementalcoach.com. But he has these amazing methods for helping people to break through what he likes to call self-limiting beliefs. And there's a lot of little tiny things that get in our way that keep us from being productive,
yep.
And effective at an open house, at a networking event, just picking up the phone to call, you know, calling your database and that sort of thing.
A lot of stuff is in our head.
There's a lot of stuff. And I think for real estate agents, this podcast is going to be directed towards real estate agents. Yep. However, I'm going to tell anybody who's listening to this, what he has to say is going to be helpful for wherever you're at. If you're a buyer, a seller.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Anybody in sales can benefit from this. And this is something that I run into a lot with real estate agents. They don't understand that they are in sales, okay? And you need to be able to relate to people, okay? If you can't relate to people, if you ask people, buyers and sellers, what is it about your real estate agent? Is it the company he's from? You know, some people think, oh, it's a big brand name company. What is it about them? And at the end of the day, they go, no, I just had a great agent. He or she was able to relate, and I trusted them, and I will use them again. Okay, if you're lucky, they'll use you again. If you do your job right, mm-hmm. and you stay in touch with them, because we talk about that a lot in real estate, they will use you again. They'll refer you. And it comes down to communication, it comes down to relating to people, mm-hmm. and it comes down to sales. So yeah, I'm a big proponent of that. Bob and I have talked a lot about, you know, how important it is to have that down and to feel comfortable with that. So I'm glad that Dave is here today.
Oh, glad to be here. It's really, building rapport is one of the most important things you can do. And Nick, I have a great tip for you, and any real estate person, something that will be guaranteed to help the people that they work with want to do business with them again and refer people to them, because we are in sales.
Right.
And basically, you are selling yourself. When people, what do they say? They have to know, like, and trust you.
That's right.
Well, if they do, then they'll tell their friends. I like to look at this as, first of all, what can you do to destroy rapport?
Okay.
And then don't do that.
So do the opposite. Do the opposite, exactly.
Do the opposite.
So, David, what are the top five ways that we can destroy rapport? Or more, if you have more.
Well, I think one of the biggest top ways is by agreeing with everything the prospect says to say you like that. Mm-hmm. People are taught to do that. Someone says, oh, look, I have a Ford. And you say, oh, I love Fords. And then they say, well, you know, I really like a vegetable garden. Oh, I love vegetable gardens. Well, if it's phony,
yeah.
People pick up on that. And they think, oh, this person's just full of it.
Hey, wait a minute. We're taught to try to find common ground, you know, in a conversation. So, in other words, you're saying that can get kind of overdone?
Oh, it's like using the person's name. We're all taught to use the person's name.
Yeah.
So if I say, so Nick, how's your day today, Nick?
Yeah.
You know, Nick, I was driving down Landis and I thought,
irritating.
You know, Nick, oh gosh, we run the other direction.
Well, I don't have that problem because I can't remember names.
Well, that's why we say buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
I go, hey man, how you doing, buddy?
Hey dude, what's
good
up?
Good to see you, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. So overusing some of the sales training that we've received can actually become counterproductive.
Oh, yeah. And we're taught to look people in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's good.
Yeah.
Looking in the eye is good. But having a death stare in someone's eye is not good.
It's creepy.
It is really creepy.
Right.
And people do that. I asked my wife about people, because she complains to me about people not looking her in the eye. And a lot of women tell me this. They really aggravates them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They said, but even if someone does look them in the eye, if they just do this stare.
Right.
And they never waver.
Mm-hmm.
She says it's like there's someone who's an escapee from somewhere.
Yeah. I heard a term that's called stary. Somebody's getting stary with me.
Stary.
Stary. Have you ever heard that one term? No, that's pretty nice.
I heard a term, it's called, this guy looks like a serial killer.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But see, you give off that vibe and you don't realize you're doing it, but they're not going to say that in front of you. You know, it's like a business kind of a thing. Hey, you look like a serial killer. Okay, thanks.
No, they will just never call you again.
No, they'll just never call you again.
And they'll tell all their friends. If this guy calls, hang up.
Right.
Make up an excuse.
Interesting.
Say, sorry, house is on fire. Got to go.
Okay.
And you'll never hear back from them.
Right.
We're also taught to mimic people.
Oh.
In the rapport courses.
Mirror and match.
To mirror and match, right. And so they say, if someone scratches their nose, then you scratch your nose.
Right.
But people take this to extremes, and they'll scratch their nose every 5 seconds, believing that their prospect will think, this person's just like me.
Right.
And
yeah, that could backfire. What if the guy stutters?
Yeah. I'm sure there are people who probably do that. Or using phrases.
Yeah.
If someone uses a particular phrase,
mm-hmm.
well, maybe that's good in their world. And I might say it once, unless it's something that's totally not me. And if I say it and it's totally not me, then it sounds contrived and fake.
Right.
And then people just get angry because they think maybe you're trying to mock them. It's a great way to break rapport.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So great. So you've just deconstructed, 5 years worth of sales training.
So here's the big deal. Here's the biggest thing I found is helpful in building rapport, mm-hmm. and that's to remember one thing. You are not your customer.
Right.
Okay.
But who do we like to do business with? Well, people we know, like, and trust.
Right.
Well, to break that down more, we like to do business with people who are like us or who we would like to be like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gosh, you know, I'd like to be like Bob. Who wouldn't? Bob is great. Bob's rolling his eyes here.
You don't know him that well, huh?
And so what we bring to an interaction in sales is we want the person to like us. A lot of times we can get in the trap of doing things that we would like, and we assume that our prospect would like as well. But we're not them. Even if we grew up next door, we're not them. The way they grew up, the things they learned, their families, everything, their culture, everything is different. And if we can offend someone without meaning to, by doing or saying something that's acceptable to us, that we assume by it because it's acceptable to us, it's acceptable to everybody, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, real estate, this is especially important. I remember a number of years ago, I was looking for a house, hired a real estate agent. This real estate agent decided that he really liked swimming pools. So he decided that because he liked swimming pools, he was going to show me houses that had swimming pools. I will never buy a house with a swimming pool. And after the first house he showed me, he said, look at this. It's got a great swimming pool. I said, I don't want a swimming pool. Yeah. And they started going in the but imagine on a summer's day in Sacramento and you're sitting out and by the swimming pool with a lounge and a drink. I said, yeah, but I don't like swimming pools. Oh, yeah. But, you know, you'll love it because your neighbors will be envious. Yeah, but I don't like swimming pools. And so after doing this a few times, that he said, okay, I'll show you another house. So what did he show me?
A house with a pool.
Another house with a pool. And I said, I don't want a swimming pool. Yeah, but look at this. You know, it's so blue. It's so beautiful. A hard day at work. And he's trying to do all this emotional selling for something that I already told him I do not want.
Mm-hmm.
And then he showed me a third house with a swimming pool. At that point, I said, we're finished. What I learned is he will not listen to me. Uh-huh. And he doesn't care about what I want. So he destroyed all rapport. There's no way he would ever get that back. So think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Communicate to your client. Find out what their real needs are.
And listen to them.
Yeah, and listen to them.
And listen for the sake of learning, not for the sake of replying.
Yes.
And I go a step further with buyers. I find out, have you looked at homes online, and what homes have you looked at? I will go back and track those homes, look at them to find out. It gives me a better idea of what they're really looking for.
Right.
Because they could describe something to you. Mm-hmm. And I just had one of those this weekend. He described something, and then he told me about these houses he really liked, but they just went pending. Somebody else is buying them. Mm-hmm. And I went and looked at these two houses, and they're completely different from what he wanted. So that just gives me a better idea what to search for him.
Right.
So you've got to be, you know, you've got to be a little savvy to understand how to work with people. Another thing I've noticed is, and you'll probably bring it up, is we live in a state that has a lot of different cultures, okay?
We do.
So you have to be careful. And I've worked and I've run into and I've worked with all different types of cultures. And you have to be careful, not careful, but at least conscientious of how people are. So just be careful of things like that. You know, mm-hmm. when you're dealing with people, you don't want to offend unknowingly. Some of us, you know, because of our culture, we're all bubbly and talkative, and you'll turn some people off.
Right.
You know, so that's something I tell people. I go, be conscientious of that. You know, who you're working with. Different cultures are different, and mm-hmm. they deal with things differently.
Yeah, the more education you have, the better.
Yeah,
because absolutely. Because I believe a lot of times people in real estate, they do forget they're in sales.
Yep.
And it's not personal. It's sales.
It's not personal. It's sales.
And your job is to learn as much about your customer as you can to deliver to the customer what they want. And jokes are that is something I tell people. I stay away from politics,
yeah.
religion, and jokes.
And jokes. And jokes, right.
Because jokes that I may think are funny, other people may not.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I told a dog joke to someone who was deathly afraid of dogs. They didn't think it was funny. You just never know.
You never know. And so, yeah, stay away from that. So what are some other ways that you, now that you recommend of what you shouldn't do, what should you do to help build rapport?
Well, listening, active listening is really good. Active listening is when someone says something and you paraphrase back to them what they said. Dr. Phil does this all the time.
Right.
He will reflect back to them and say, let me make sure I understand what you want, what you're saying. Because maybe what they said, they didn't mean to.
Right.
And if they say, well, I'm looking for a three-bedroom on a cul-de-sac. And you said, okay, so let me make sure I understand what you're looking for. You're looking for a three-bedroom on a cul-de-sac. And they say, well, no, actually, I think I'd rather do a three-bedroom on a circle. Because I like two ways to get in and out. But if you just took it at face value, because the customer is stressed. The sales process is a stressful process, no matter how comfortable someone looks. And I always like to do that, to mirror back and say, so just to make sure I understand. And what that does is that gives them validation that they're important, that you're listening to them. A lot of communication is nonverbal. You're using words, but you're using words in a way where they're getting a feeling, an emotion. And if someone believes that you're validating them, that you're listening to them, they're going to think more of you. They're going to like you more.
Right, right.
It's better than them just showing up and saying, boy, you know, you got the cutest kid I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
Boy, I look at you, your child must be a genius. Look at that. Look at that brown hair. Wow, what a wonderful shade of brown. And I've heard it, and you probably have too.
Mm-hmm.
And it backfires.
I've had it happen to me. Where I've met with a client and we got completely off subject. He had two Ducati motorcycles in his garage. I love motorcycles. And the conversation turned to motorcycles. And I lost the client.
Yeah.
And he was honest enough to say, you know what? You came over. We're going to talk about my house. And all you wanted to do was talk about motorcycles. So that was a learning. That was a hard learning lesson for me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, you know, I was just trying to relate to the guy. But at the end of the day, you're right. They have to feel comfortable with you. You know, get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to build a rapport, but keep in mind why you're there.
It's sales.
It's sales.
Right.
Exactly.
There's a rule that is called the straight line selling, and he goes, there's a line that you're traveling down, and the furthest you deviate from that is only 10%.
Yep.
And that, in other words, exactly, don't try to go over, run a bunny trail to try to build rapport or common ground. Acknowledge that, say a couple of words, get right back to what you're talking about, why you're there. Because you're not their buddy.
Yeah.
They've just met you.
Right.
You're their professional. The reason you're meeting with them at coffee or at their home or whatever is about real estate. It's not about camping stories, vacation stories, over-relatability. I do like a two exchange on something. I count two or three at the most. You know, I say something, you say something, I say something, we're done.
Right.
And I move back to what we're doing. You know, they call it a circle back, but I come back to what why I was there. I'm thinking of that transition of how to get back to listing your home or finding out what the type of home that you want to buy and that sort of thing. But that's something that's, I have a little clock running in my head about that. So it's always, I don't overdo it. And, but you're right. I've seen that happen many times. I used to do other types of sales, home improvement sales. And sure enough, you're laughing, you're carrying on. There's just this great sense of, oh yeah, we're connecting. And they go, I'm done.
Yeah.
In other words, the time I allotted you to be in my home is over. You didn't get to where you wanted to go. So,
yeah,
it's been nice meeting you. And maybe I'll see you on the golf course or something like that. I agree.
and then bye-bye, and you wasted time.
Right.
And we have a finite amount of time, and time is precious.
Mm-hmm.
What is the biggest mistake that people in sales do, David?
I think the biggest mistake that people in sales do is they don't listen.
Okay.
They assume. It's like if I'm talking to you, a lot of people, so you're talking to me, I'm kind of listening to you, but I'm already thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Right.
Right. And then I don't, I'm not able to respond to you. So in real estate, what sells a house from a woman's point of view? What's right. the standard wisdom? Bathrooms, right? Bathrooms right. and kitchens.
Bathrooms, kitchens, right.
Right.
What if your client is a woman who does takeout all the time? And that's if right. you go in and say, or her husband does the cooking,
mm-hmm.
and you're selling to her and ignoring the husband on how great the kitchen is, well, okay, the biggest thing salespeople do is they shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
And that is a great way to shoot yourself in the foot. Because if your agent doesn't care or doesn't relate to you, they'll find another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what you said earlier. I think I'm going to start doing that, is what Dr. Phil does, is listen to what they say and then repeat it back to them. Just to acknowledge in your mind and also in their mind that you actually heard them.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
It's powerful.
Doing that.
Yeah. You don't have to say, so, and how's that working for you?
Yeah.
You don't even have to say that part. Yeah. You could. If you do, let me know how that works.
Yeah. No. That's a big no-no.
The people want to be listened to.
Yes.
The most important thing to us is us.
Right.
And if someone says that they believe that we have importance,
mm-hmm.
that we matter, that's a big deal. And so if I'm talking to you, Nick, and you're listening to what I want, and okay, so maybe my life circumstances change. I'm not able to buy a house, but you know, I know someone now.
Right.
I know a real estate agent who will actually listen to what I want,
right.
is interested in finding out about what I need. I will keep my ears open.
Sure.
And then if someone says, so I'm looking to buy a house, oh gosh, it's, and I'll say, hey, I know someone who listens and will find out what you need and show you that.
You know, one of the things, too, that can be dangerous is social media and how you comment on that. And if you have friends that are on social media and they see your comments on something and that offended them, then they can kind of go cold on you and, you know, not return your phone calls and not, you know, respond to you and that sort of thing. David, what about fear? A lot of fears out there. I mean, little fears, okay, not big stuff, but little things that keep people from, say, picking up the phone, you know, or going door knocking. They're afraid of talking with people. What are some of the ways that people can get over fears?
Well, there are a lot of little things you can do. I like trying to find the simplest solution first. One of the simplest solutions is you can just play mental tricks with yourself. You can set a goal. You say, every time I make a phone call, I'll reward myself by go getting something. You can remind yourself before every call of a success you had.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend creating a success book. That is something that you write down that has successful experiences with an approximate date.
Okay.
I used to keep this in my Palm Pilot back in the day, and now I keep it on my iPhone.
I remember those.
Palm Pilots, right?
Yeah. Yeah, those are great.
We just dated everybody in this room.
Yeah, yeah. But imagine if you're going to go pick up the phone, and before you pick up the phone, you look at your list of this phone call, of the best phone call you ever had, where you talk to someone and they were enthusiastic and you kind of matched their enthusiasm and you connected and had a great experience and it resulted in you selling a house. Well, what that does is remembering something like that, bringing up the excitement, it changes your brain chemistry.
Right.
And so when you're talking to this new person, you have that. That comes out. It's nonverbal. I call it focusing on what you want, not what you want to avoid. And so success book, and before every call, it's funny, I worked with a salesperson who was really in a big slump. And I did this with her. And then we trigger things all the time. We have triggers for everything. A favorite song triggers a happy feeling. A smell of our favorite food triggers a happy feeling. And so I found a really successful sales experience for her, and I triggered it. I think she liked these little stuffed animals and just associated it. And so she put this little stuffed animal in her office next to her phone, and before every call, she would look at it, and that would kind of associate her best call ever. And her success rate, her sell rate tripled.
Wow.
And I said to her, and she said, yeah, it's great. I'm salesperson of the month now. And she said, my sales manager said, what in the world did you do? And I said, well, what did you tell the sales manager? I'm thinking, great, I'm going to get more customers. And she said, oh, I told him I didn't know. Just, you know, one of those things.
So getting your mind in the right frame before you even start is very important.
That's key.
Right.
That's key. I remember I read an interview with Michael Jordan, basketball player.
Right.
And he was notorious for making these crazy shots to win the games in the last few seconds. And someone asked him after he did this, my gosh, weren't you worried? Weren't you worried that you might miss? And he said, the only thing I was thinking about was every successful shot I've ever made.
Right.
That's the key. Focus on the good stuff.
You know, and that makes a good point, though, is that I think a lot of times when we have a successful situation, we just kind of like, you know, we have a big sigh of relief, and then we just move on. We don't record it. We don't make a note of it. We have a lot more success than we realize, but if you just kind of kept a note of it, or just tapped it in your calendar or in your phone somewhere so that you could retrieve it, then you compile it into that, so then you can remember that, you know, in a way that's intentional, that you're doing this on purpose. And then that way, when you have to go make the phone calls or do the other elements of sales where you know you're afraid, you know that's something that's a barrier to you, then you have a go-to spot. Okay, this is where I have my successes here. And you have just a top 5 or 10, whatever, how that works, so that you're able to quickly get there, re-engage that what that felt like, and then pick up the phone and go. That's really huge.
That is. Yes.
Let me ask you a question. This kind of ties in. You know, in our industry and in sales in general, you will deal with a lot of rejection. Especially, I call people, okay? And when you call people, cold calling people, you may be the 20th guy that just called them, mm-hmm. or the 30th. And they're like, oh, man. They just lay into you. And I've learned, hey, you don't take it personal. You know, I always, hey, I'm sorry to hear that. Have a great day. You can't take it personal, but what do you recommend that people do? And what do you recommend how they should deal with rejection, especially in sales?
Well, when we're dealing with things like that, there's two ways of dealing with it. There's the analytical, logical perspective, and then there's how you feel.
Right.
So the analytical, logical perspective is that it's not personal.
Right.
They don't know you. Right. I mean, Nick, you're the greatest guy in the world. Everyone should be happy that you're really calling them.
Yeah. See, you've known me for a short while and you're already saying that.
And if you call someone and they say, what are you calling me for? You're a terrible person and for disturbing me. It's my dinner. It's my wonderful time that I've, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they slam the phone down.
Yeah.
It's not personal.
It's not personal.
And then if someone does take it personally, if you do start feeling bad, that's when you shift your focus. We have this wonderful ability of interrupting our pattern, of shifting our focus, of distracting ourselves. So on my phone, I have a picture of my dog. He's a big brown Doberman with one floppy ear, and it's a picture of him curled up in one of those little child swimming pools.
Oh, okay.
Always makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And if something happens and I'm feeling bad about it, I look at it, and it changes your brain chemistry. Mm. It changes your state of mind. Mm-hmm. And that is a great way to do it. Find something that makes you laugh. Mm-hmm. Remind yourself of a triumph.
Okay.
A time when you felt confident, happy, something that works for you.
So redirect your thoughts.
Well,
quickly.
You said things that are like really that. Important here is you have two sides.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's two sides to rejection. Number one, there's the analytical one, but number two, there is the emotional one.
But it's the emotional one we get hung up on.
And exactly. Yeah. And so you can quickly hit to that thing. Yeah, I know, it's business, not personal. Yeah. But then, wait, but I still am angry, I'm upset. You know, how do I rebalance back into this? And so then you're right. Have an emotional go-to point, like a photograph, like that lady had the little stuffed animal, whatever that is, but clearly has to be personal to you. Have that emotional reminder point of that. No, you're not a dirtbag. You know, you are good at certain things. And that way you can recover quicker in that.
And so here's a big secret for you that is another crucial part that works really good, because people ask me, how do you stay motivated? You have on your list, you're going to make 15, 20 calls today.
Right.
And after the fourth person who says, don't call me anymore, slam. And you say, well, heck with this. I think I'm just going to go on Facebook the rest of the day.
Right.
Because people aren't going to reject me there.
Yeah.
So how do you get motivated, remotivated? And a powerful way to do that is to set your payoff. In other words, why are you doing this?
Okay.
You're not making phone calls because it's just a wonderful way to pass your time.
Right.
You're doing it because it's business.
Yeah.
And you want to make sales. You want to make connections. But there's a reason you're doing that. You're doing that to make money. Well, you can't eat money, and you really can't make a house with just money.
Right.
And so there's a payoff. And that payoff, you take it to something and how it's going to make you feel. Because emotions drive us.
Yes, they do. They do.
Right.
I've seen people in our industry, and I'm sure it's very similar in other types of sales industries, with tremendous potential, get absolutely destroyed because they let the emotional factor get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's something you just need to overcome. You can say logically, oh, you know, it's not, don't take it personal, but people get hung up on the emotional.
They do.
So I like your idea of redirection. I like that because the mind cannot think of two things at the same time.
Right.
So if you redirect your thoughts to what's positive, what's going on, why are you doing this, it's easy to get remotivated. And I've seen that. I've had to do that. And I've done the opposite too, where I'll get, you know, the fifth or the sixth really negative comment, and you just want to go, okay, I think I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you're not done for the day.
No, you're not. You got to keep going. So.
That's when you should go, oh, okay, thank you. Let's see, why am I doing this again? Oh, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
Or you can say, great, okay, I have only six more until I get to go do something fun.
Yeah. Right, and have that reward.
And it's like programming your own computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining us, and really appreciate it. You got some really good tips there.
Give us your website. You can plug your website.
Yeah, my website is thementalcoach.com. You can go to my downloads page, and I have a couple of resources anyone can download. I have a couple of really great relaxation audios that you can use, and something I really recommend, I call it the Mental Game Snapshot, where you rate yourself in your areas of confidence, motivation, focus, and how you respond to pressure.
Okay.
And I do this myself I do it quarterly, because information is important. You know the importance of measurement. And this way you can spot a trend And if you find your motivation starting to go down, you can reassess.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And David is here locally in Sacramento, and it's called thementalcoach.com, just as it sounds. And yeah, definitely check it out. And David, thank you again for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you, David.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Real Estate Steps Podcast. We'll be back next week with some fresh topics about real estate news that's pertinent and relevant to you. You can follow us at Facebook or Twitter at Real Estate Steps. Be sure to subscribe to us at your favorite podcast streaming site. Also, you can follow us at realestatesteps.net and contact us, email us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week.